Well, good morning or good afternoon, and welcome to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry of the Washam Word. We want to invite you to come to the Washam Word. My name is Matthew Monono, and along with my wife, Victoria, we are the owners and operators of the Washam Word Hand Car Wash. We started this business here in Churchill. We're on Highway 11W in the Powell Shopping Center, and we started this business so that we can get God's Word out into the public ear in a very unique format. And so what happens is we take these messages that you hear on WMCH, 1260 AM radio. We play them Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. They're 15-minute long verse-by-verse messages, and then we put them together, and we play them on a loop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, here at the Washam Word. And the great unique thing about this is you can come into the parking lot area, tuned to 107.1 FM. That's 107.1 FM. And you can hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere in the parking lot, whether you're over by the library or at the Holston Medical or at Pal's. Just as long as you're close enough to the Washam Word, whether we're open or not, whether you get your car washed or not, you can hear a word from God. And let's face it, guys. Girls, we need to hear from God sometimes, don't we? And it could be 2 o'clock in the morning and you're not going to find a church service going on, and we may need to hear a word from His Word. Well, let us remember to come by this parking lot and flip to 107.1 FM, and like I said, 24/7 we could hear a message from God, and maybe God's got something for you even today. If you have any questions about this business or ministry, go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. There you'll find out everything about the business and ministry. You can also download and listen to all of our archive messages for free. So in case you've missed any, you can catch up by going to the washandword.com website, clicking on the media tab, and listening to the last few. And so if you've missed any over the last week or so, we are currently in the book of 1 John and chapter 2, and we're going through this very powerful book verse by verse, because that's what we do here. We do this for a reason. We believe that verse by verse Bible teaching is the most effective way to properly equip the saints of God for all that this world would throw at us, both now and in the days to come. So, verse by verse, we get it all. You know, when did God's Word... at what point in history did we decide that God's Word should be cherry-picked? You know, and this is why we started the ministry. I'd ask myself, when did we decide that we would decide which parts of God's Word we would preach on? Well, I'll just pick this part and leave this part alone, and, oh, they don't want to hear about this. So, I mean, no, it was never meant to be that way. Anyway, I could go off on a tangent. If you've listened to me long enough, you know that that happens quite often, and I've got to reel myself back into the real reason we are here, and that is to do His will and to do His word. So, John, 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to pick it up in verses 18 here in just a minute. But as I look around the landscape of the Christian church today, I think one of the big problems in Christianity today is a lack of discernment among Christians. I think A.W. Tozer hit the nail right on the head when he said, "The unattended garden will soon be overrun with weeds, and the heart that fails to cultivate truth and root out error will shortly be a theological wilderness." And friends, this is exactly what's happening today. We are not cultivating truth. We are not rooting out error. And we are thinning out God's Word, and that's only going to lead to a theological wilderness. And not only do Christians today lack discernment among Christians, but one of the big problems in Christianity today is that many Christians don't believe in absolute truth. And this is absolutely important. They don't believe, there are many out there who don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God in all of its literal and intended purpose. And even if it is the Word of God in their thoughts and belief process, they have this mentality that it needs to be interpreted in order to fit in today's society or what is happening in today's culture. So thus, the Bible is living in the sense that it is constantly changing. Yet, It is an unchangeable truth. There are those who even believe that, let's just take homosexuality as an example. I could take murder, or let's take thievery, whatever the case may be. And they'll point it out in the Bible as, well, back then it was illegal, but today, well, things have changed. Society has changed. Our thinking has changed. The laws have changed. So God's word must change. That is a grave error. The word of God never changes. It is absolute truth, has always been absolute truth, and never will it not be the most absolute truth. Another big problem in the church today is that itching ears are not being taught the whole counsel of God's word. And so as a result, they are succumbing to the subtle lies of the devil. But thank God for men like John, who gives us letters like 1 John, who steer us back into the paths of righteousness. But there's one catch, friends. We have to be listening. Verse 18 says, "Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour." I'm gonna stop right there with just that one verse, because we need to start off by making sure that we all understand what John is saying, or what the Bible says when it refers to the Antichrist or the spirit of the Antichrist. The word anti, as we know, it means opposite or in place of. And so in this reference, the Antichrist is either it's the opposite of Christ or the replacement of Christ. In this case, it's both. And so the opposite or the in place of Jesus is the spirit of the Antichrist. And the spirit of the Antichrist isn't an individual spirit per se. It isn't an individual person. It is a movement, if you will. It is the motive and force behind every false doctrine and every false religious substitute that bills itself as genuine Christianity. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, the Unity Church, Christian Science, these are all false doctrines and false religions that have substituted the genuineness of Christ for an antichrist, a replacement Christ, an opposite Christ. And there are many who have fallen for this subtle yet powerful lie. Why? Why have they fallen for this? Because we, and I said this already in this message, have gotten away as a church, by and large, as a whole, as the whole community of Christian churches, we have gotten away from preaching all of God's word. And if we start thinning out the word of God, we are going to naturally be leaving out the parts of God that give us the weapons and the power and the ability to spot these false, subtle doctrines. It is a clever ploy of the enemy that has worked and is working, and we are seeing the fruits in everyday life. Secondly, we have to understand that the spirit of the Antichrist also refers to false teachers. He says that many Antichrists are coming or have come. And this is these are different movements of a cultic mentality. This is different movements of people who have come. Hitler was a form of an Antichrist in a direct sense of trying to wipe out God's people. But false teachers are the same, it's the same spirit of the Antichrist. They're just pawns of the actual Antichrist that will one day come, that we read about in the book of Revelation. But again, it's this subtlety of not telling lies, listen, but not telling all of the truth. You see, a half-truth is also a half-lie. And by leaving out parts of God's Word, leaving out parts of Scripture, most likely and usually the uncomfortable parts, we are not giving the full counsel of God's Word to our hearers. And teachers, pastors, preachers, listen to me. If we leave out parts of God's Word, our congregations are not going to be prepared when trouble and trial and persecution come. The Bible speaks of a great apostasy in the end times. That is going to be the result of countless congregations being fed half-truths, incomplete gospels. And when push comes to shove, when the war begins, they're going to fall away because they've got nothing to hold on to. There's no firm foundation for which they can stand. Oh, the detrimental destruction of thinning out God's Word. Oh, it is reaping such a dangerous precipice in this culture of Christianity today. And how I fear for the churches, how I fear for the pastors and the preachers and the teachers who are not adhering to the whole counsel of God's Word. Friends, we've got to get back to prepping our congregations. It isn't a suggestion. It isn't something that would just be beneficial. It is absolutely vital to prepare the people who come into our churches, to prepare them through the entirety of His Word and the fullness of His truth. And so the spirit of the Antichrist is not only a spirit or a mentality. It isn't only a falseness of teaching, but the Antichrist itself will become indwelt within a man. We know this from the book of Revelation. He will be called the Antichrist. So we have many Antichrists that have come. We have the spirit of the Antichrist, and we also have the Antichrist. And one day we will understand this when he comes onto the scene. Hopefully we won't be around to see it. And another term we should probably look at before we close out this teaching today in verse 18 is how he talks about the last hour. He says, "Dear children, this is the last hour." And at the end of verse 18, he says, "This is how we know it is the last hour or the last days." Listen, everyone since the day of Jesus' ascension thinks we're in the last days. And in a way, that's true. Because the last days are not a seven-year tribulation period that'll one day happen that we read about in the book of Revelation. The last days aren't those days when everything's collapsing. The last days are now. The last days began at the moment of Jesus' resurrection. We are living in the last days. So whenever you hear the last days or the last hour, it's actually been over 2,000 years of last days. And this understanding is a must need if we're going to continue to understand the rest of the book of 1 John. We have to understand that the last hours or the last days is this age of grace ushered in by Jesus. You know, when he walked into the temple and he kicked over those temple tables and then he withered the fig tree, that was Jesus ending the reign of the Abrahamic covenant. When Jesus withered that fig tree, he literally took the ability of Israel to draw people to God and gave it to a foreign dog. He gave it to the Gentiles. And through this age of grace, we are the ones carrying the baton of salvation. Friends, we are dropping the ball. Adam failed when he sinned. Israel failed when they failed to live as a theocracy. And now we, in the age of grace, with the message of salvation, are largely failing for one reason and one reason only. We have departed from the Word of God. And that is an admonition you need to take to heart. Well, that's it for today. My name is Matthew Manona. You've been listening to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching, a ministry of the Washam Word. Remember, go to 107.1 FM anywhere in the parking lot. to hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching. If you have any questions, go to washandword.com. Have a blessed day.